Okay, this is happening. We've had a mission for months to get Governor Larry Hogan on our show, and we didn't expect it to be in this situation. But Governor Hogan, good morning.
Well, good morning, Reagan. Thanks for having me on. I wish I was on better circumstances, but I'm glad to be talking with you guys this morning.
Bethany, I know you want to say hello.
Oh my God.
Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Governor Hogan.
How are you?
So good.
Governor, what is the state of the situation? What's the state of the state right now, this morning in Maryland?
Well, it's, I'm happy to have the opportunity to come on and talk to people about, the importance of this social distancing. We've quadrupled the number of cases in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. just in the past week. We're up to 774 cases here in Maryland, and doubled in the past 3 days. So it's a serious situation that's continuing to grow rapidly and escalate in spite of all the great efforts that we're making. And I know it's really disrupting people's lives and making it difficult. And people are wondering, why we can't go out and have fun and hit the bars. But I want to thank your listeners for doing such a good job of listening. And it's been tough on the small businesses and tough on people who have to stay home. But it is going to help us really save the lives of thousands of people.
Well, when we found out that you were going to come on with us today, we posted on our Facebook page, do you have any questions for Governor Hogan? Most people just wanted to relay to you that they are so thankful for what a great job you're doing handling this
thank
whole
you.
Thing. So.
Well, thank you very much. You know, the one thing I want to talk to, especially for your audience, at first when they were talking about this at the international level, and last night, by the way, we passed the number of cases in China and in Italy, so we're number one in the world now with the number of infections. The U.S. not something we were looking forward to being number one in, but all the talk was about this was only affecting older people, and originally it was about nursing homes and people in their 70s and 80s. But our statistics on all of our cases over the past 3 weeks show that a lot of your listening audience is really affected, and some people kind of think they're bulletproof because they're younger. Well, maybe this is going to happen to our parents or our grandparents, but one-third of all of our cases are people in their 20s and 30s, a little over 32%, 14% in their 20s, 18% in their 30s, and if you add the 40s in there, from 20s to 40s, it's more than half of all of our cases. So I just want people to realize it's not just about, making sure that you don't infect your parents and grandparents, but it's every one of your listeners got to be careful. You can get your friends and your family. So it's why it's so important for everybody to pay attention. I don't want to scare everyone because we are going to get through this together, and we're taking every step possible to keep people safe, but it's not a time to go out and have coronavirus parties or to celebrate because you're not in school or you don't have to go to work. It's really going to take everybody doing their part to help us beat this invisible enemy.
Governor, you've gotten a lot of credit nationwide about being early on enacting measures, and that could not have been easy. So what made you decide this is serious, even if no one else is shutting things down in their state? I have to.
Yeah, well, so, I'm the chairman of the National Governors Association, and I started hearing some of these reports and thinking about it and talking to our team about it back in early January when we were seeing some stuff in China. The first week in February, we had the National Governors Association had their annual meeting in Washington with almost all the governors, and we had Anthony Fauci and a number of four other top doctors, scientists from the federal government address all the governors, and we heard some pretty serious and sobering stories about what could happen. And I came back the next day and got our team completely engaged, and I put together a really smart group of the top epidemiologists and doctors and scientists from Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland Medical System and MedStar Health and all of our top hospital systems here in Maryland, and got the best advice. And they were telling us, that we were only weeks away from having this happen. And I just, there was no time to waste. They were telling us that every day we failed to act people were going to be in danger. And so at first, when we were calling a state of emergency and closing the schools and closing bars and restaurants, I think some people might have thought, what the heck? This is not that bad. What are we doing this for? But now if you look at what's going on in New York and California and Washington State and New Orleans, you know, that's what we're doing it for. We don't want to be like that. And they all believe that the steps we're taking will help protect people. So we don't have 25,000 people infected and hospitals being overloaded with people on ventilators.
We're still hearing from listeners and seeing it to ourselves to a certain extent of parks being full, of businesses that really are questionably essential still being open. Mm-hmm. Are there severe measures in your back pocket that you maybe don't want to take yet but are thinking about?
Well, so on the parks being full, we want to hear about those because we on all of the state parks, we have the Natural Resources Police and the park rangers are shutting down any kind of activity. They've closed all of the places where groups could congregate. We still want people to be able to get outside and go for a jog or go for a run. And it's probably not so bad for two people to play tennis on a tennis court with plenty of distance, but we don't want people jammed in pavilions. And so they're breaking those things up. We've asked our local leaders to do the same thing with their local parks, and we want our law enforcement at the local level to make sure they're enforcing that because it's very dangerous to have groups of people together of more than 10. We've taken every step that we can think of taking, and we've taken unprecedented actions almost every single day for three straight weeks. On the essential businesses, some people would think, essential only means, nurses and doctors and police officers. But really, there's a lot more. It is a wider group because we can't shut down things like the supply chain, getting people the food that they need. The pharmacies have to stay open, the people that are getting those goods that people need out to the stores. We've got to continue to get people with the restaurants and bars, have been closed, but we're encouraging all of them to do delivery. We waived all the state laws so they can actually even do alcohol sales off, even if their license didn't allow them to before, so people can not crowd into liquor stores, but they can go to their favorite small business, their restaurant, and take food and alcohol to go. And so it helps the small businesses stay alive, and it also helps get people fed and keeps us from having, big crowds in some of these stores. But we've closed down a lot of the economy. I mean, there are, we now have our unemployment claims are up 1,000% in the state already. It's higher than that, I think, nationwide. And as of yesterday, 2.5 million claims. So it's devastating economically to people, and we understand that part, too. And we're trying to help from both ends. We're helping people that are hurt by not being able to work and small businesses not being able to open. But we're also trying to save lives and keep people safe.
It really sounds like you're taking everything into consideration when making all of these decisions. We've had a couple silly questions come through, and most people
that's okay. We can take silly questions. I mean, usually it's fun on your show, but it's kind of a downer when you get me on here, right?
Well, next time, we promise that in the future we're gonna have a lot of fun with you.
Yeah, we're hoping.
The good news, yesterday was opening day, and the good news is the Orioles did not lose a game yet. So, how about that? We'll lighten it up a little bit.
Wow.
Optimism from Gunther Hogan. What are you doing to de-stress during this time when you're making all these tough decisions?
There's not a whole lot of de-stressing going on, frankly, Bethany. I mean, we've been working. We have a tremendous team of people, really thousands of people here in state government and the health department and then our National Guard, citizen soldiers, and our state police, and people in every agency that are trying to help people with their unemployment claims. We're working around the clock. I mean, really, it's all day and all night, and there's no stopping. It's been 21 straight days since we got our first case. And, hopefully we'll get a chance to de-stress at some point. But right now we're just running on adrenaline.
What is your day like? First thing you do in the morning, are you checking reports? Are you getting, we get the 10 a.m. report every day about the number of cases. I assume you've seen that at this point?
Yeah, well, we have a meeting before that report comes out with our entire team. It's a senior leadership team of state government along with all the health department officials. Then we get all of those reports that come in from across in much more detail than you get the top line numbers, but we hear about each case and who they interacted with and what's going on at the local health departments, and we talk with these doctors and scientists about things like flattening the curve and about surge plans for hospitals. And we're meeting pretty much all day. Yesterday I led another call of all the nation's governors with the president and vice president. We got a disaster declaration declared for Maryland.
What is the call like? What's the call with the president like?
Well, so we've
had. Is it like this?
Yeah, it's not nearly as much fun as talking to you guys, but it's a pretty serious call. We had 52 governors on the call yesterday, including a couple of territories. You know, there's a give and take. So the president spoke and the vice president, and then they had Secretary Mnuchin talk about the stimulus bill, which is passed the Senate unanimously, and we're trying to get the House to pass so we can get money in the hands of people and small businesses right away. And then I spoke, led off on behalf of all the governors with kind of a consensus of all the issues and concerns and requests that we had. And then it's just open up dialogue back and forth, questions. It's been, I'll say this, they've done a really good job of communicating with all the governors who are on the front lines. And we've had, I think, 7 or 8 total calls with the governors talking to each other, 5 of which were had the, either the vice president or both the president and vice president on the call with us. So it's, you know, we're all in this together. It's going to take everybody at the federal, state, and local level to beat this thing, along with all of your listeners.
Speaking of presidency, everybody's totally digging your strong, steady leadership. Any future goals for you? Everyone's kind of wondering.
You know, I'm just really focused on this crisis, Bethany, but I'm glad they're digging me. You know, that's good. I really don't have much time to think about or care about politics or future plans of any kind. I mean, we're just really focused on trying to keep people safe and keep doing the things we're doing.
Yeah, Governor, that's a safe answer. I mean, I believe it, but there's got to be something way back in the back of your mind.
You know, not really. It's a long way off. I have almost 3 years to be governor. There's not another national election for another 4 years, so there's no time to really think about or talk about that. No reason to. We're just going to stay focused on, you know, with these taking these unbelievable actions to help save our economy and help keep people safe. I mean, there's no time to think about politics or talk about it. And quite frankly, I think one of the good things that's come out of this is that we're getting rid of some of the bitter and divisive, angry politics.
Agreed.
We actually saw a unanimous vote out of the U.S. Senate in like a couple of days with all the Democrats and Republicans working together. Never seen it before. Right?
Honestly,
all the governors are working together. I think they're giving me the hook here, guys. I'm sorry, because but I really appreciate it. I'm going to come back on sometime when we're talking about more fun stuff.
Yeah, please do.
But thanks for having us on, and tell your all of your listeners out there, stay safe and keep paying attention.
Hey, really, we appreciate on behalf of everybody in Maryland that's listening, we appreciate the time that you've taken to talk with us, and we really do look forward to having some fun with you. And we have all kinds of executive orders.
Yeah, I'm usually more fun than this, but you know, so we'll come back on again.
Yeah, we have tons of suggestions for you. We'd love to grab a drink sometime.
That sounds good. Okay, Bethany, sounds good. You're on.
Thank you, Governor. Really appreciate all your work.
Okay, take care.
See ya. Bethany.
Oh my gosh!
We just talked to the governor. It was really great to talk to him. And what a voice of reason. He was mentioning the politics aside kind of situation. We mention anything about a politician, and people will attack us left and
either
right.
Either way, yeah, no matter what.
But it really is nice to hear from someone. I wanted to mention one of the comments that got the most love on Facebook. Thank you, Governor, for your strong leadership during this crisis. As a teacher, thank you for not being hasty and canceling the entire year already. It gives me hope that I might have some time with my students. Hope is everything. So,
I'll tell you what, his voice during that call was just like calm and like, I got this. And like, it really did kind of give me a little bit of hope and that they got us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is, as we mentioned earlier, this is a stressful situation for every single person. There's not a single person whose life hasn't changed by all of this. So to have someone who you know is, as he said it, there's not a lot of decompression, not a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. Someone that really is waking up and figuring out how to do things. We'll post the whole interview with the governor up on our website. And again, we hope to have him on the show with us.
I mean, I am so thankful that he was able to take that time with us, given, you know, he's talking to the president every day and canceling things and planning stuff. It was really nice of him to take some time out for all of us.
Well, he doesn't understand that that everybody listening, you know, if we get just one more person to understand the power of the message, that could really save lives. It's as simple as that. 410-583-1065. It's Reagan and Bethany.